When you take your copy of God's Word this morning, open to the book of Colossians. One of the powerful evidences that God is in expository preaching is that you start preaching through a book months in advance and land on the perfect verse for the day. We're honoring the family, and today we're in Colossians chapter 3, where we look at the relationship between children and their parents. So, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 20 and 21. Miss Carly Bagg is going to come, and she's going to read this passage for us. Let's stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and then I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to ask for help, because if there was ever a passage of Scripture that I needed help with, it's this one. And I invite you that if you need help from the Lord in raising your kids, to join me on your knees as we cry out to the Lord for help. Carly, would you read?
Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged.
Amen. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as fathers and mothers and grandparents are in this room, Lord, we just together cry out for help by the Holy Spirit, wanting our homes to be homes that are edifying, where you are glorified, where there's peace, there's contentment, there's joy that's created between relationships of husbands and wives and parents and children. And Lord, we're a long way from having that right. We struggle with sin. We struggle with our sin natures. And so, Father, we ask you now that you would, in the power of your Spirit, not only teach us what you would desire, but empower us to live it out. Give me grace as I seek to preach, Father. I believe in the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that that Holy Spirit would work this morning in our hearts. Open our ears, open our hearts to listen, to learn, and to grow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week we started looking at the fact that God wants homes to be homes that are peaceful, where people can live in harmony and love and get along, where there's joy in the home, there's happiness, there's stability in the home. But for that to happen, we see that relationships must be bound together in love, which is what he's saying in the preceding verses in verse 14, where he says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." In the context there, he just talked about the church and how putting on love binds the body of Christ together in love and perfect harmony. And then he shifts to talking about husbands and wives and importance for them to love each other in the unique way that God had designed them to relate to each other. Looking at husbands and wives, we saw that husbands ought to love their wives by leading their families, by caring for their families, providing, protecting for their families. And wives, you're to relate to your husbands by believing in their leadership and leaning upon them and supporting him as he leads your family. And so, husbands, I'll remind you again, don't marry a woman that you're not willing to sacrifice your entire life for her good. And wives, don't marry a man that you can't trust his lead. And now we're shifting today to think about how parents relate to their children and children to their parents. And quite frankly, as a dad and a parent of, Misty and I, a parent of three kids, I don't know that there's ever been a message that I have been more ill-equipped to preach. Because quite frankly, I don't know how to raise kids. I don't know how to raise my kids. I certainly don't know how to tell you how to raise yours. All right? By far, parenting is the most difficult thing that I've ever done. It makes me think of a quote I heard about Mark Twain said one time, his philosophy of raising kids. You ever heard this? He said the only real way to raise kids is when you get them, take them and put them in a barrel, feed them through the hole, and when they become teenagers, plug the hole. Now, some of you don't have kids are going, I cannot believe he said that. And all of you parents out there going, man, amen. Amen for that. So I'm really going to try my best not to give you much advice from Bradley, because Bradley is not in any position to tell anybody how to raise kids. However, God is. God gave us our children. God made us parents. And so let's listen to what the Lord says about how He designs us to relate together. So I think as parents and children, for there to be a home where there's peace and harmony, where love abounds, I think the commands that He tells us here requires an acute understanding of our sin nature. Because for children, you realize what He said. He says, children, obey your parents. This pleases the Lord. Obey your parents. Why would He have to tell children to obey their parents? Because of a child's sin nature, their immediate impulse is going to be to reject the authority of their parents, or to try to push against the authority of their parents. And so what He says is, look, children, you move towards your parents by moving away from your sin nature, away from your sin nature toward your parents through the heart and acts of obedience. And then in the same way, He tells parents, particularly He says fathers, but the word here for fathers certainly can be applied to all parents. He says, now, you have a sin nature as well. And your propensity is to follow your sin nature, to take advantage of your authority over your children and to abuse that authority. And so what He's going to say here, where He says not to provoke our children, lest they become discouraged, I think what He's saying is this: be aware of your sin nature and your propensity to abuse your sin nature, and move away from your sin nature and toward your children via grace. So children, move toward your parents through obedience. Parents, move toward your children via grace. So let's look at these two simple commands. First, verse 20. Children, obey your parents. Noah, Ava Grace, Keller, obey your parents. Thus saith the Lord. Been waiting my whole life to be able to do that. So the first question when you read this passage is, well, He's addressing children. Who are children? Well, teenagers are quick to point out, well, I'm not a child anymore. So biblically, who are children? Well, the Greek word used here is a very general word that really just means offspring. It can refer to anybody at any child at any age. And it literally means anyone under parental guidance. So biblically, you stop being a child when you go out and you establish your own independence and your own life. So as long as you're dependent upon your parents for a place to live or to pay your bills, or as long as you're responsible, they're responsible for you, then they have leadership and control over your life, and you have the responsibility to obey them. To put simply, if you're still on the payroll, you're still under their authority. All parents said?
Amen.
So, if you're in that role, here's what's great about this. If you're in that role, there's really one command in all of Scripture given to children. That is to obey their parents in everything. We see that here. We see it throughout the Scripture. It's always been God's design from the beginning. The fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And God reinforces this command over and over a few places. Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And as we read these passages, what we immediately see is that there is a direct blessing connected to children being willing to obey their parents. We see in both in the Colossians and the Ephesians verse that it points out that by doing so, you please the Lord. In the fifth commandment, Exodus 20:12, you'll see that promise that you honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Now, maybe you've heard it said that now you need to obey your mom and dad, because if you don't, they'll take you off this earth. Right? So they don't kill you. You need to obey. But he's really not saying that. All right? And he's really not even saying that if you obey your parents, you'll live longer. What he is saying is this. In the Old Testament, God's covenant with Israel was directly connected to the promise of the land and for the promise for the people of God to dwell in the promised land. So this is a picture of God's blessing upon his people. And so what he's saying is that if you want to live, the quickest way to live a life of God's blessing directly upon your life as children is to obey the authority that God has placed over you via your parents. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but not every child does that. There is such a thing in this world as rebellious children. I know you can't fathom that. But the Bible does talk about it a bit and what God thinks about that. So since the Bible talks about it, I'm going to bring it up. Is that okay? All right. Listen to what Proverbs 30:11 says concerning what rebellious children look like. And this is 30:11 and following. There are those who curse their fathers. In other words, they don't obey their fathers. They don't honor their fathers and mothers. They curse their fathers. They do not bless their mothers. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but not washed of their filth. In other words, they look good to themselves. Man, they have all the answers, but they're as dumb as dirt. There are those, how lofty are their eyes and how high their eyelids lift. In other words, there are children out there who think they are God's gift to the world. None of our kids, of course. Of course. But they're out there. I don't remember who said this exactly, but it went something like this. That when I was 16 years old, I didn't think my parents knew anything whatsoever. But when I turned 22, it's amazing how much they learned in those 6 years. Have you noticed that children generally don't know anything about FICA tax, insurance deductibles, homestead exemption, but yet they think they know everything? And of course, not all teenagers are like that. But many are. And this type of rebellion against their parents and an inability or a lack of desire to create their own independent life is God does not like at all. And it hurts family and it hurts society. Look what he says in verse 14. There are those whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives, to devour the poor from the earth and the needy among mankind. And then he describes in verse 15 that these children as leeches, that children that refuse to live under their parents' authority yet refuse also to go and create their own independent lives. He says this, the leech has two daughters. Those two daughters have the same name, give and give. Give and give are the leech's daughters. Three things never satisfied. Four, they never say enough. These leeches, they leech on to these animals and they just suck blood and suck it and suck it. And they never say enough. They continue to draw from the family. I want more. I want more. They want the freedom and the blessings of an independent life, but refuse to pay the cost and the responsibility of it. And God hates that. God hates it. How much does God hate it? Well, look at verse 17. Look at where the end of this attitude goes that says, I'm just going to I will live my own life in my own independent way. I will rebel against my parents, but I will continue to expect them to provide for me as I shirk the responsibility of creating my own independent life with responsibility. Look what he says in verse 17. I didn't write this. This is actually in the Bible. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the raven of the valley and eaten by the vultures. That's kind of vivid, God. And God says, I know it was to get your attention. That children who refuse to live in obedience to the authority that God has placed over them, and yet desire all of the blessings and think they deserve independence, that road leads to destruction. Where he says, the vultures claw out your eyes and eat them. Not a place you want to be. Better path? Obey your parents and live under the blessing and the leadership of the Almighty God. How's that for a passage for parent-child dedication Sunday? The Bible describes the end times as a time that that generation will increase in the disobedience of their parents. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. I think we've made it. So the one command, hear it. The one command that you have while you're under the wings of your parents. The one command that God desires for you, that you might grow to live under the blessing of God, but also the wisdom of God, and grow to be who God called you to be, is to obey your mom and dad. Here's the thing. They probably know better than you are, than you do. They've walked roads that you haven't walked yet. Let me just encourage you. If I can just tell you one thing, and this is not even in my notes, but I want to talk right to the young people here today. You don't have to buy every lesson you learn. All right? What I mean by that is learn from other people who have already bought the lesson, who have already paid the price, who have already walked down roads to say, you know what? The end of that road is destruction. Don't go down that road. Learn from your parents. Do they know everything? No, they don't know everything. I know I'm a parent. I don't feel like I know anything. But I know more than my kids do. And I'm leaning upon the Lord because He knows infinitely more than I do. And that's how we survive. Okay? Learn. Grow. Humble yourselves before the Lord, which means you humble yourself below, under your parents. Now, does that mean you obey your parents no matter what they say? No. Your first obedience is to the Lord. And so if they tell you to walk a path or walk an aisle or to do something that God clearly has not told you to do, that's no different than us rebelling against the government if they tell us to live in such a way that it's unbiblical or immoral. So your first obedience is to God. But God tells you to obey your parents because that's the way He has chosen to care for you and to grow you into the man and woman that God has created you to be. Children, obey your parents. Your sin nature will cause you to rebel. Move against your sin nature and toward your parents via obedience. Now, application points here. First application point is this. If you don't choose to create a life independent of your parents, you are choosing to remain under their authority. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways. And secondly is what I just said already. Fight your sin nature by moving toward your parents through obedience. Now let's move to the responsibility of parents that God has given to their children. And it's as simple as this. Parents, don't be unreasonable as you raise your children. Verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, the word used for father there is clearly a word that can be, I'm going to go through all the exegetical stuff on this, but can be applied to talk about mom and dad. So talking about parents. And again, God has given parents the authority over their children to raise their children, and we should not abuse that authority. We should be moving away from our sin nature toward our children via grace, via grace. Because if we don't, if we lean against our sin nature, then ultimately what we do is just create more rebellion within our children. He says, don't provoke your children. Don't do that. Don't provoke them. Well, what does it mean to provoke them? It means to embitter them. It means them to call for them to act in such a way that you cause added bitterness in their heart toward you. You might say it like this: stop irritating your children with unrealistic expectations that cause them to lose heart. It causes them to think, well, you know what? There's just no reason to even try to do what dad says or do what mom says, because whatever you try to do, it's never enough. Whatever mark you try to meet, it's never enough. They're always finding some fault in me. They're always finding something wrong in me. I can't ever please them. Their expectations are completely unreasonable. No matter what I do, I can't win. And I can tell you, as a parent, that's easy to get into. When your children drop the ball or they become resistant to your authority, and they will, they're little sinners. What do you expect? Their parents are big sinners, right? They get it honestly. And so when they do that, when they don't meet the mark, or they rebel against your authority, do you respond with an unreasonable exercise of authority? And I got to tell you, I'm like the world's worst about this, about not making the punishment fit the crime. A school assignment gets missed, and what is the first thing you do? You're grounded forever. It was like, I just forgot my homework. It was just at home, Dad. I'll bring it tomorrow. Forever, I said. And well, come on. That's not workable. Don't crush your child's heart just because you have the power to. We all know that the dads have authority, that parents have power. But we should use that power in a way that God uses His power toward us. Love, respect, expectation, but leading toward growth, not toward my way or the highway. Read a message in preparation of this by John MacArthur, and he mentioned a number of ways that he sees parents embitter and their children, or irritate their, the way he put it, irritate their children and cause them to lose heart. And I want to just touch on these things right fast. Again, this Bradley didn't write these. What I say about them, I'm saying, but the list comes from John MacArthur. The first is overprotection. Overprotection. That you're going to be in control of every single action, decision, that your children make. That, what does that communicate? It communicates to your children that they can't be trusted. I think it's important. I said I was going to tell you what Bradley thinks, but this is what Bradley thinks. So this is not from the Lord. This is from Bradley. I think it's important that as your children grow up, that you, in an age-appropriate way, give them opportunities to fail. Because when we give them opportunities where they can either succeed or fail based on the decisions that they make, when they're in our home and they're within our sphere, then we can minimize the damage. And thus we can help them grow. We can help catch them when they fall. Because there's going to come a day where that net of mom and dad's love and protection and care is not under them. And if we never give them an opportunity to fail when they're in our homes, then when we get them outside, when they go outside of our homes, and they've never had an opportunity to make a decision on their own or to show and display wisdom or a lack of wisdom on their own, in that type of environment, the consequences can be disastrous. I would rather them learn to make wise decisions or unwise, or not learn, but learn from unwise decisions where Misty and I can be there to catch them. So that when they get on their own, maybe they'll have learned to make wise decisions in living God's blessing. All right. The second is favoritism that MacArthur points out. Don't compare your children to each other. They each have their own strengths, their own weaknesses. Some of your children are going to be good at math. Some of them are going to be terrible at math, but they're going to be able to sing well or do art well or create things well and, you know, music and so forth. Celebrate the uniqueness of your children. Don't ever compare them. Why can't you be more like your brother or sister? Why? Because that attacks their felt worth. Third, a problem of embittering them is never showing affection. Now, you know, I know different homes are different here. You know, I'm not saying you got to be lovey-dovey. Don't be afraid to hug your kids. Don't be afraid to hug your kids. There you go. Don't be afraid to kiss them right on the cheek. Brent's over here hugging up on air when I was saying that. I do that, man. I'll take Noah. Or I'll take him out. I used to kiss him right on the mouth, and he was like, that's got to stop, Dad. And so now I'll kiss him on the forehead or kiss him on the cheek. Embarrasses him to death. Look at him. He's about as red as his shirt is right now. Red as my shirt is. Embarrasses him to death. But you know what? When he walks away, he knows his daddy loves him. Another problem is not being consistent in your discipline. And that is hard. To have the same punishment for the same crime across all of your children across time. That is hard. My advice to you is God help us all. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. Criticism. It's hard when you're an authority and your kids do stupid stuff. And guess what? Our kids do stupid stuff. Robbie Ann's over there. Robbie Ann Gilbert told me one day, the principal at Northside, he said, when your kids, said, Bradley, don't be surprised. When your kids turn 14, they will lose their mind. They will lose their mind. It is just gone. They'll lose their mind. Don't worry. God gives it back sometimes around 18, 19, 20, right in there. God will give it back. But for you know, 5, 6 years, they're just going to lose their mind. I want you to listen to. And so when that happens, you just want to go to your kids. Holy smokes. You did what? Where was your mind? What were you thinking? What is wrong with you? Have you... Be honest. Parents, how many of you have done that? All right. It is tempting to want to criticize them, to beat them down, so they won't be so stupid. Their kids are going to be stupid. I want you to listen to what a doctor that MacArthur quoted in his sermon. He said this. He said, the child who lives with criticism does not learn responsibility. He learns only to condemn himself and find fault with others. He learns to doubt his own judgment, disparage his own ability, distrust everybody, and above all, he learns to live with the continual expectation of impending doom. And that speaks to me. That does, it speaks to me. And so, the thought comes to my mind, the world's going to beat our children down enough. In their home, may they be lifted up. Neglect. The last one here, neglect. I think David's son Absalom is a good example of that. Don't neglect your kids. Spend time with your kids. I know it's hard. Life is busy. I told Missy, I said, I hadn't spent any time with my kids in 4 days. Just because it's been crazy. We had a death in our church. We had stuff Sunday. I'm leaving to go on a business trip here. I'm a trustee here. I'm like in about an hour. I've got to be gone. And all of a sudden, I just had time to spend with my kids. And I'm convicted about that. Because I know that is like really, really important. Don't neglect your kids. Spend time with your kids. Play with your kids. If it means watching your child play PlayStation 4 because it's a one-player game and not two, why they make games like that, I have no idea. But that's what I end up doing. Is it boring? Boring as dirt. But your kids need to know that Dad and Mom are there. Love your kids. Move toward your children via the grace that God has moved toward you with. Children, move toward your parents with obedience. Obedience. All my parents want to do is control my life. If you're 25, your parents don't want to control your life. They want you to get out of the house. But if you're not 25 and you're still under, if you are 25 and you're still living at the home, obey your mama and daddy. If you don't like the rules that mom and daddy has in their home, get out. That's what they want. Put the Nintendo down. I didn't intend on saying any of that. I felt like that was from the Lord. Get a job. J-O-B. God intends for the home to be a home of peace and support and stability. And when mom and dads relate to each other in the way that God has designed, when parents relate to their children in the way that God has designed, when children obey their parents and see the authority that God has placed over them as one that is loving, and they realize that they're going to have to live under authority their entire life, it shows them how to honor the greatest authority, God, then it creates a home where the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell. May God give us all Christian homes. Father, again, maybe the message that I'm most ill-equipped to preach, because I'm a struggling husband, a struggling father. But Father, I do want you to dwell in our home by the power of your Spirit. I want Christ to be exalted there. I want our children to be fed the Word of God. I want love to be, real love to be seen by my children between Misty and I. I want our children to know that by calling them to obedience, it is the most loving thing that God could do. Father, I remember a preacher saying one time that your children won't ever be what they never see in you. So Father, I pray that you'll help me be what I want them to become. And Father, I pray that the homes of Mount Gilead would be homes where the Spirit of God is pleased to dwell, and where children grow up to be followers of Jesus who treasure Christ and who love to worship and have children of their own when the time comes that they then lead to the Lord in the same way they were led by their parents. Would you accomplish that in us? Father, if there are those here today that don't know Christ, I pray that your Spirit would move them toward you. If that's you, turn from sin. Put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It's the only hope that you have to live the life that God's called us to live. And it's the only hope that any of us have to enjoy the peace that God desires for our homes. Father, would you give us grace as parents to move toward our children and away from sin nature via grace, and for children to move toward parents and away from their sin nature via obedience, all for the glory of your name. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand to sing a hymn of invitation now as the Lord leads you. If you want to come and just pray for your family, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray for my family. If you want to join me down here, I invite you to do so. If you need to know Christ, Dustin will be down here. Brother Mike will be down here. Any decision you need to make, let's respond as we seek the Lord together.